The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from an uncorrupt corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show with Diana Hong, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. And now, ready to accept your bribes, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody.
Hi. Bribes.
Hello.
Sure.
What are you taking?
Is that a little
what are you offering?
Loco Capital flavor?
Yeah, it is.
Nice.
What depends on what you're offering.
I don't know what I want from you.
Well,
there's cat fur on my mic and it's tickling my face. And
oh, I hate when that happens.
Just,
sorry.
Just
sorry.
Appreciate it. Just
I also had to move the whisker from my seat. Oh.
Why did I say that out loud? Shit. I like realized someone like said something and I was like, fuck, I just realized that shit is forever. It's recorded on a podcast.
Yeah.
I can never.
The internet never forgets.
It never does. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about some uses for WD-40, tips for living a kick-ass life, plus Easter hours and one that got a little out of hand. In Pittsburgh, of all places. I heard about this and I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on?
That is where stuff goes crazy, though. It's Pittsburgh.
It is. It's where stuff goes crazy. But before we get into all that, live on the phone, and by phone, I mean computer, because this is the new millennium. It's Sean Greenwood from Ben & Jerry. Sean, how are you, sir?
I feel like I want to break into a really bad 80s robot voice.
Do it.
That's my phone / computer segue. Hello, Nate. How are you? That's all I got. And Andy's out.
Why does he sound like a... Am I going to sound like an asshole for saying this? Stephen Hawking, kind of when he said that, like in the robot voice?
See, there you go.
That's what he's going for.
Oh, that's what he is going for that. Oh, okay. I didn't know if I was like being politically incorrect by commenting.
I wasn't really trying to sell it, but no. But I think before Stephen Hawking, I think it was an automated robot voice, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hawking doesn't own that. Maybe he does. Maybe he bought it.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he bought that.
he's got some money.
Well, we've got some things to talk about. There's been a shuffling in late night hosts lately, and we need to know how this is going to be affecting Ben & Jerry's ice cream offerings. Let me start.
Things are crazy, huh? Most folks know, I think we've done the show a couple times talking about our Jimmy Fallon flavor that we did recently a couple years ago on Jimmy's second anniversary of Late Night, and then he's graduated up to the Tonight Show, and now you've got our other guy Stephen Colbert,
right? Is going to be doing the Late Show with Stephen Colbert starting next year. So let me ask this first: you mentioned Jimmy Fallon. I haven't seen this around lately, and it may just be out of stock. What's going on with Late Night Snack? Is that going to be relabeled? Is that going to be sticking around? What's going on with that flavor?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, the deal is we're looking at it kind of Jimmy has moved on kind of to a newer thing. And so we've had this great flavor with him with Late Night Light Snack. That's like your flavor, Light Snack. That's if we're going to do a Nate Darling Show flavor. Jimmy Fallon's Late Night Snack is vanilla ice cream, salted caramel swirl, and fudge-covered potato chip clusters. So it's kind of the salty, sweet combination
amazing
that we're going for there. So that one will be riding off into the sunset as we kind of regroup with Jimmy and look at something new with those guys. Because, you know, it's hard to – you don't want to continue to call a flavor after the guy's last show.
Right.
So
– yeah, that's the challenge. So – so,
but it's so
you know,
good,
we've already been kind of starting some work down that road to look at what we can do for calling attention to Jimmy Fallon's career. You know, they're great. We're so thrilled that they got a new show, that they got the Tonight Show. They've been great partners for the last 3 years just to be able to work together with us doing, you know, some pretty cool stuff. It's been really solid and a lot of fun. So we're thrilled to be able to kind of continue to work with them.
So basically what you're saying is if you see Late Night Snack, get it because it's going to be going away.
Yeah, I think riding off into the sunset is one of the euphemisms we've been bandying about the office. You know, and it's that way that's one of the challenges at Ben & Jerry's is everybody wants a new flavor, right? We brought out this new line of core flavors that all have like a scoop of something in the middle like caramel or fudge or jam. So we just brought out these new core flavors, and people have been loving them, eating them up, and saying that, you know, that's so cool. But to bring out four flavors, you kind of have to take four off the list that aren't moving that great. So, you know, that's part of the challenge is always you only have so many spaces on the shelf. How do you manipulate that area and be able to keep up with some things? And then, of course, when you have these folks who are these kind of high visibility partners who are just great to work with, you know, they were so kind of generous and supportive, not only in, you know, how they helped launch the flavors. I think we had 22 minutes on Colbert's first show the day after Jimmy Fallon launched his flavor that he did, you know, bits. You can go find him on Colbert Nation if you look up Jimmy Fallon and his flavor. You know, Colbert just did this really funny, you know, extended bit on kind of what was going on that way. But they're also generous with they donate away their proceeds, right? So Jimmy Fallon's proceeds have all gone to a Fair Trade Universities program to be able to talk about how do students help support purchasing fair trade goods, which give back to these farmers in developing countries. So that's been real generous. Colbert's flavor has raised over $1 million since we've been working with him. He donates his money to the environment, to children's groups, and to veterans groups, which is really a thing that's kind of near and dear to his heart. So when you have that kind of opportunity to work with those folks, you just want to keep doing things with them.
Now, you and I talked off the show, and I asked this, but let me get them right from the grand poobah of PR's mouth. Americone Dream, staying or riding off into the sunset?
Yeah, you know, so Americone Dream, it'd be different if it was called Colbert Report Crunch or something like that, right? Because then you go, okay, his show's ending. He's doing something new. We got to consider we can't necessarily hold on to the past that way. But with it being called Americone Dream and a flavor with Stephen Colbert, I guess someone can ask, did you do the flavor with the character or with the person? I think we're moving forward with the latter, saying this is a flavor that we've done with a guy. You know, he's still very much into it. I was just down at their show a week ago, and just 2 weeks ago now, I guess the week before they made the late night announcement that he was taking over for David Letterman, which, by the way, if we were going to David Letterman flavor, do you think that'd have something bittersweet in it?
It would have to.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if, you know, maybe some old crusty custard with bittersweet chocolate.
Oh, damn. I was going to go sour cherry, but okay. Crusty works,
oh,
too.
Not bad. Right. See, I'd love, don't get me wrong, love Letterman. I mean, see, I grew up with Letterman. Like, he was the bomb the whole time. I still have a David Letterman book that I got, like, in eighth grade. So we love Dave. And, well, you know, I was actually walking across from Colbert's studio when I was down in Manhattan, and walked by, and Letterman standing on the sidewalk with one of his guys, and I said, you know, I'm going to do him a favor and not bother him, but I think before he ends with his run, we'll probably try to stop by with some ice cream and tell him thanks for him and his crooks for what a great job they've done.
Yeah, it's nice that we have a year to appreciate the fact that he's leaving, because, you know, sometimes it's sort of a quick thing and then it's like, oh, but I think what's going to happen is people will forget for a while and then all of a sudden be like, oh, crap, there's only like a month of Letterman left. We better watch.
Yeah, right. His last month ratings will go through the roof. But it's great when you hear kind of all of the other, you know, younger comedians, with everyone from Jimmy Kimmel to Colbert to, you know, just all of the stand-up guys who talk about how influential Letterman was and you know, how he really helped carved out that niche and made it. Even Conan O'Brien to say, you know, what it is that he did was revolutionary at the time. When you go back and look at these other guys like Johnny Carson, whoever, that Letterman admired, you know, he just came out and did it in a different way. And you know, he's always going to have that, no matter, you know, when he goes out, how long he's still kicking after he's done with the show. He's kind of the guy that started that. So we give props to that. But real excited about, you know, what do you think? What's it going to be like when Stephen Colbert takes over as a person and not just his Colbert Report character?
I think that's really the big question, because it's been a pretty quiet. You haven't gotten a lot of Stephen Colbert, the guy, I mean, since before he was on The Daily Show.
No.
I mean, just not since he was on Strangers with Candy, I believe, which was an old show.
Heck yeah.
But that,
you know, I went down, we did a promotion with Stephen the first year after we launched the flavor, where he's from South Carolina. And so we went down and did a program at the local, like, AAA affiliate was the River Dogs. So we were down there for this minor league Charleston team. And Stephen was out there. They were going to have him throw out the first pitch. So we brought Jerry down from the office and had Colbert throw the first pint So he had a pint of Americone nice. Dream on the mound and threw that out. Oh. So when I went down for this promo, I was traveling with Jerry from Vermont, and we went down and got to meet up with Steven before the game, and we took a tour of the River Dogs Stadium and got to talk to the guy for a little while. And then he had his a lot of his family's down there, and his mom was still alive then, so she came over. So I got to meet his mom, which is a real treat. You know, he was one of, what, 10 or 11 kids, just this huge family. So he still got, you know, a handful, four or five of his siblings are still living right in South Carolina. So they were there, and I got to meet his mom. And at the end of the night, it was great. The we had the guys throughout the first pint. It went one inning and then rained. And so then there was a rain out from there. So people just kind of hung out for an hour, hour and a half, and then the party died down and people took off. So at the end of the night, we were sitting up in the suite that we were in, and it was just Steven, his wife, Evie, their kids, and Steven's mom. So, you know, it was raining out, so Steven said, all right, I'm going to go around and get the truck and pull it up to get mom in. So I got to walk out his mom, you know, on my arm to be a gentleman, just like we were raised to be in Vermont, Nate, as you know. And it's just really nice to hang out, like really down-to-earth family, nice folks, you know, just good people and real laid back. And I think if you want to see, you know, and I know Steven from doing work stuff with him. I don't hang out with the guy on the weekends, but I think if you want to see what he seems like when I get to meet up with him, you go look at that GMA piece that's out when he did kind of the morning correspondent piece. You know, the guy's funny as hell. He's intelligent, very quick, incredible that way. And but definitely a down-to-earth guy, real laid back.
That and it's good to hear when good things happen to good people. By the way, in Sacramento, we have the River Cats. That's our AAA team.
Ooh, close.
Yeah.
That would be a great battle, River Dogs versus River Cats.
It would be, but because there's neither actually exists. There's no such thing, which is important.
Now, not like whale sharks. Right?
Now, Sean, you mentioned the core flavors a little bit ago, getting back to the Ben & Jerry's. I've had a few of them. How many of them are there in total?
Yeah, so we have, you know, Caramel Sutra is a flavor that's been out for, gosh, a dozen years now that's a caramel base with a caramel core to it. And so that one's been out for a while. But we just brought out this whole new line this year of four different flavors, all with cores in them. So those four join Caramel Sutra. So now five total. So I don't know which ones you tried. Right now, one of my favorite ones is called Hazed and Confused. It's hazelnut ice cream with chocolate ice cream, little chocolate chunks in the chocolate side of the ice cream, and a hazelnut fudge core in the middle.
I've actually had the best. I've actually had all of them.
I think we're going to have to put a box together and send it out so you guys can make sure you have each of them multiple pints, and we're not shipping Ted any for not being here.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's the thing. Like, I haven't tried all of them, so I think we should get, you know, like a sample.
Oh, he'll hook us up.
I'm always good about that. Now, you know, the one that surprised me, and we just had, like, a month ago, we hosted like 15 bloggers here up in Vermont, up at our headquarters, show them what we do and talk to them, all that stuff, and had them try the new products. And the one that they were most impressed by, it doesn't mean it was their favorite, but it was one that shocked them the most, was one called That's My Jam. That's half chocolate ice cream, half raspberry ice cream, then a raspberry jam center. And people were saying, I didn't think I would like it at all, but it really worked really well. And I give the you know, the research and development folks kind of their credit for that one, because it really worked out well, and I didn't think I'd like it either because of that kind of jam center, but it was a fabulous one.
Yeah, that one actually worked out really well because it's not something you would think of going in an ice cream, but that's really what Ben & Jerry's is about, isn't it?
Yeah, right, trying to mix up these things. You know, when these guys came along, gosh, 36 years ago now, there was plenty of ice cream around. It was just people weren't doing kind of the super high end with a lot of chunks and swirls and that kind of thing in it. So that was really their niche. And you know, I think they've, as far as the company has been able to seize that kind of with these new products, right? With these new line of cores, you have the chunky, you have the swirl, you have the chance to get in there and say, you know, there's a salted caramel one that has the caramel in the middle that you go, if you want to go and eat all the caramel first, fine. If you want to kind of skim your spoon across the top and have a little bit in each bite, fine. It kind of allows you that personalization of you know, how you want to eat that product.
And Christiana has a question.
I have a question.
You.
Do they ever, is there ever a day in the office where somebody comes up with a name that just has to have an ice cream go with it? I mean, do you ever reverse engineer a flavor? Because
totally.
somebody sitting around,
it's funny because a lot of times when I'm out speaking on the comedy, people say, what's the process for a celebrity flavor? What's the process for naming? What's and all that? And the truth is, we're not that organized. Like, we work hard. It doesn't mean we're not trying hard, but sometimes you come up with a cool name and you sit on it for 6 or 8 years. I've been holding off on Hanky Panky, as I think would be a great Ben and Jerry's flavor name. I don't know what would be in it, but and I'll let you guys talk about that one when you move into the second half R-rated version of the show. But
I was going to say, I got some ideas.
what that would have. We've done Sweaty Balls. Where
would
it go?
I love
there.
That one. I love you guys' titles.
But there's definitely, you know, that piece of sometimes you get a cool name, sometimes you get a really cool product, and you say, all right, now we're looking for a name for it. So it's never kind of like, all right, this is the same process every time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll come up with, you know, a good flavor that we like, but isn't quite there. And we'll sit on it and work on it again and again and again. And years later, the Fallon flavor that we brought out with Late Night Snack, we had tried fudge-covered potato chips, like whole potato chips, for years, like going in and playing around with that concept. And then kind of after going back to it, when Fallon was interested in it, we got the idea to crush up the potato chips into these kind of little balls, the little clusters, and then cover those in fudge. And that all worked out.
Amazing.
Excellent.
So does that mean, I mean, it seems like these people are successful, but they get more successful after they have their Ben and Jerry flavor. So is it like the Ben and Jerry bounce, like the Colbert bump?
Awesome. Love to say that we bring, you know what, I think the one of the nice things is, and I was reading this when I just saw one of the Colbert, I think it was CNN did a story on Colbert saying one, you know, his like top 15 accomplishments that led up to the Late Show, and we were listed as one of them. And they were saying, yeah, in 2007, Colbert got popular enough that he got a Ben and Jerry's flavor. And for us, one of the things that's interesting is I think we went to Colbert because he is really tied in with kind of the values of our company, and he's left of center and quirky and unique that way. You know, there are other late night show hosts or other comedians or celebrities who are much more popular than Colbert, and especially at the time. You know, he's obviously grown in popularity now, but you think back to 2007, if his show's getting 750,000 viewers, you could say, hey, Jay Leno maybe on the same year was getting 5 million a night. Why not do a Jay Leno flavor? And I'm sure Jay Leno is a great guy, and it'd be great to have done a flavor with him, but I think the reason why we went with Colbert is because he was really kind of had this unique left-of-center kind of approach to his comedy and to, you know, raising awareness around issues. I mean, you think of issues around, like, a super PAC. Like, I don't think a lot of folks knew what a super PAC was before Colbert started making fun of them. And to be able to do that, I think we just love that energy from the guy and how he ties his humor into bringing out entertainment for people. But it also has a little bit of value to it that way. And I think, you know, for us, we're just thrilled to be able to partner with those folks. You know, the other thing is we partner with a lot of people that aren't celebrities and that aren't famous. And you know, we try to do things like the brownies. Have you guys ever tried our chocolate fudge brownie ice cream?
I can pretty much say yes to that.
That are in that ice cream are baked by a bakery in Yonkers, New York, that's called the Grayson Bakery. They employ homeless people, give them job skills training. You know, it's people who may have been formerly incarcerated or living on the street. They give them a place to live, and they give them job skills training, you know, kind of everything from hygiene classes to how do you come to work on time to how do you communicate with others and get these people back on their feet, train them to get their lives back. And then some people kind of graduate from that business and move on, and some people stay there and keep baking brownies there. And it's a tremendous partner, but people don't know about it. We put it right on the back of that pint of chocolate fudge brownie to try to brag it up. But, you know, so there's a lot of folks like that that we do partner with that aren't necessarily celebrities or famous that way, even though they're trying to do good things out in the world. So, you know, hopefully we can kind of keep plugging away, and we have a good balance of those folks who are real well known that people like. And you know, I know Nate knows the story about our late night snack flavor that we already had Colbert. We weren't looking for another late night comedian. You don't want to do it with everyone. It kind of loses its chance to be special then. But Jimmy actually went on the show with the Roots, and they dressed up in tunics and performed as Ladysmith Snack Mambazo, where they sing kind of about their favorite foods and stuff like that. And so they did this 3-minute skit on Ben and Jerry's. And because of that, I sent over ice cream to their office. Jimmy got on the phone and called back to our office and said, hey, thanks. And I said, cool, man. I'm in New York City working with Colbert and other folks. If we can, I would love to come over and scoop for your staff. And from doing that, we just ended up sitting down and saying, yeah, maybe someday we'll do a flavor. And it was just very organic that way that it came about. And I think Ben & Jerry's is a fortunate business because I think we do some good things with our business and try to give back to the community. And because of that, I think when you do good things will happen for your business.
It's worked out very well. I want to thank you very much, Sean Greenwood from Ben & Jerry's, for joining us to set the record straight about the late night ice cream wars. Apparently, Colbert has won because his flavor continues. Right?
I don't know if there's an ending to the challenge.
I think
that's
we're
the
all
challenge.
Winners.
Is
we're
what
all
does
winners.
Fallon do next, and where does it go from there?
Oh.
Because you never know kind of what the next step is, and how do you measure that then? So I hate to throw anybody under the bus, but I would say for now, I think Mr. Colbert is pretty safe with his flavor continuing to be the racehorse that it is, while Mr. Fallon's flavor, I think, will be looking at doing something that's worthy of his Tonight Show ascension.
Well, it'll be interesting because they're going to be going head-to-head, again, literally head-to-head against each other for real now, not
yeah,
sort
I
of
think
the made-up
that was
way.
One of the jokes that Colbert cracked to Fallon when they first had their bulk ice creams out, and he said, Jimmy, your ice cream's pretty good. It's just not ready for the 11:30 time slot.
Oh, snaps.
Indeed.
And now look where they are.
All right, so get Ben & Jerry's in pints and larger at your favorite grocery store, Walmart, Target, wherever you might see it. Wherever there's a freezer, there's probably some Ben & Jerry's.
Oh, yeah, Ben & Jerry's is
also
great.
Also at finer and less fine airports around the country. Because it's interesting to see the people working the scoop shops at different airports, because I got to go through a Midway, did a nice long layover at Midway, and nobody working in any of the food services at Midway Airport in Chicago are happy to be there.
It's a tough living, huh? Just working with folks coming. We've got some good operators. I think we've got a handful of them around the country that are doing some airports that do a good job at it.
Oh, yeah. I have no complaints about Ben & Jerry's at the airport. I'm just saying.
But it's just a tough job for anybody, right?
Oh,
waiting
yeah.
people at the airport all day long.
Yeah, people, you're at the airport. You've been traveling. You hate life. And then you're like, just give me something. And then.
We're never happy.
So thank you very much, Sean, for joining us.
Always great to talk with you.
Yeah, we look forward to the care package. We'll talk about it later. And if you're out on
that
the West,
sounds good.
If you're out on the West Coast, we'll have you stop by the Living Room Studio.
Beautiful. Look forward to doing a show in person.
You, like, yay. He's talking about New York and all this, and you're like, hey, we got a Living Room Studio. This is the high end of Sacramento.
Sean and I went to high school together. We go
that's
way
right.
back.
We did our Vermont time together, and I did Sacramento 2 years ago. I think I was out there and did a TV show out there, and I'm in D.C. tomorrow. I'm in L.A. next month, so we'll see. Maybe we can work something out.
We've got to do Rivercats
awesome.
Game.
Yeah.
I'll compare it to the River Dogs.
Yeah, I'll bring the River Dogs with me.
There
that
you
sounds
go.
Good.
All right, Sean, thank you very much. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye. Right,
thanks, Sean.
Sean Greenwood from Ben & Jerry's. His title is the Poobah of PR.
I love it.
I want to work for them. That was my question, actually, that I wish I asked was, are you hiring? Because
yeah.
I will be your bitch.
Whatever needs to happen, we can do that for Ben & Jerry's
I will
ice
move
cream.
To fucking Vermont.
You know it's cold there, right?
Oh, it's
I
mean,
dude,
it's
I lived
cold.
I went to Wazoo, the east side of Washington, Pullman, Washington. Yay, go Cougs.
It's not exactly the same.
I was thinking, well, you just talking, it reminded me. I met Stephen Colbert once in New Hampshire in 2004. When he was still a Daily Show correspondent, they did Daily Show did this event at like the lone major hotel in New Hampshire where
right.
everybody stays to cover the primary. And so I went up and I looked back at my photos, and the only person I didn't get a photo with was him, which makes me bummed out. But
right.
I got a picture with most of the other people from the show at that time.
Did you get Mo Rocca?
He wasn't there. He wasn't that. I don't think that was his era. I met Samantha Bee and
she's done great things, right?
John Stewart.
No, they're all still there.
And what's his name? Ed Helms.
Right.
So he's done stuff anyway. But
yes.
I met Stephen Colbert and I said to him that I really admired the work that he did in the show. And he looked at me for a moment. He appreciated the comment, and he also looked at me like I was nuts. He was like,
sure.
Nothing we do is admirable. I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, that's not true. You know that's not true, because you know you guys are filling a very important role, you know, in the world, at which point I had to overinflate the importance of comedy, but I don't think you can because it's very important. But he was a really nice guy. You know, he was in that crowd, even at that time, you know, these were rock stars.
Yeah.
But he still was very, very gracious and very nice. They all were. So that was cool.
All right. So we got the scoop on the ice cream. Today, as we record, the day after Easter. Diana, how was your Easter? Did you celebrate?
I mean, which part? Easter, 420?
I said Easter because listen, anybody who's that's all horseshit. Anybody who's all 420 smokes fucking weed every day. So shut the fuck up. That would be like if you wore a fucking Santa Claus outfit every day of the year and then on December 25th for like a month before you're like fucking Christmas is coming.
Oh,
it's like
dear.
You dress like Santa every day, asshole.
Every day
is Christmas for you. Every
day, okay. My life just started sucking recently, so fuck you, Nate.
Because I'm wrong about everybody who's like, 420, 420.
No, I mean, I wasn't feeling too hot, so I just kind of kept it low key. Like, I never got the hype. I was supposed to go to my friend's place for Easter, but then it was, like, late. My friend's mom's place. But, yeah, like, I that's, like, a white people thing.
Well, I was curious. I didn't know if you
celebrated.
Yeah,
no, I didn't. I mean, but next year, if anyone has, like, I'm down for Easter dinners or brunches or whatever the hell you people do. I look at pictures and I'm like, damn, that food looks hella good. So next year, if y'all want me to come and I can pretend to be all up on Easter, please invite me.
it's a food holiday.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
food. I love
gathering
food holidays. I never had that growing up. So like, I get happy when things like that happen, but no one invites me because maybe I just need friends. Is that a requirement? Is that one of those things?
Maybe.
Fuck.
Possibly. I feel full of guilt now.
Well, no. You invited me.
I did invite
you.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Damn. I didn't. You know what? I think about people who don't have family in town or aren't originally from here. So, and I didn't. And I assume other people with families like don't need orphan holiday.
And the other thing.
So I was inadvertently and unintentionally an asshole. Well,
I am the epitome of someone with an orphan that like needs. That thrives on orphan holidays. Like, I'm always an orphan on holidays.
No.
Well, to be fair, you did put out the original invites like a month or so ago. You're very proactive when you're like holiday planning and stuff.
That's
so
true.
So it was actually the original invite came before you joined the main show.
Okay, fine. So try to cover her ass. But damn, this was official shit. Like,
it wasn't. I mean, it was a Facebook invite. It wasn't It wasn't. It didn't. It didn't rise to Evite level.
No,
or anything.
No.
Oh, you know that shit.
So
yeah, when she throws out the Evite, that's
then
serious.
It's like bitches better better RSVP.
But to be fair, the ham. By the way, you made an incredible amount of food, and it was all delightful.
Thank you.
They made a ham. That was the size of my two cats put together.
It was too much ham.
It was a lot of ham.
It was too much ham. Why I followed the... I don't know. I'd never done ham before. And I just kind of... I told Rob, here's what we need to get from the store.
Go buy us some ham.
The recipe said 15 to 18 pound ham.
That's
and
all
it said
was?
It comes with a... You know, and it said bone in. The bone adds weight. So I didn't know. No, this ham was 19 and a half pounds.
At least.
And it was huge. And, you know, everybody ate a ton of ham and Rob carved and carved and carved. And at the end of the meal, I look over and there's still an entire fucking ham.
Yeah, it looked like a dent.
It almost broke the platter. Like Rob was carrying it.
Damn.
And he said he didn't know that like ceramics could bow, but he felt.
I'm
sorry.
Just swing by.
Yeah, no, really. Everybody should come over for more ham. I meant to bring ham tonight, and I forgot.
And she forgot the fucking DVD. She is just failing. She doesn't invite me to shit. She,
I am the worst.
She is. Can we? Like,
I'll get shit from other people for not having the right invitation. But you know what's funny is like there's I think there's like a karmic circle of invite. I don't know, invite screw ups or invite etiquette or something. Because I had another friend who. Not usually. I used to entertain a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a kid.
Four children.
And then it's really hard to do stuff because it's hard to plan and it's hard to do stuff in the kitchen and whatever. So this was literally the first time in 5 years that I've done Easter brunch.
Yep.
And I've been sort of hit or miss in the past since having a kid on a Christmas party. We usually have a Christmas party, which is like a drop-in. As Christmas parties are, it's a drop-in, have some nog, socialize, go home, whatever. It's not like a
yeah, you can be
a dinner
in,
party. You know?
You can be in and out in 20
it's a,
minutes.
It's a pop in, pop out kind of thing.
Aw. Fun.
And so I had invited one friend to come on Sunday, and he didn't say anything. He didn't reply. And then I was like, are you coming? Because I need to burn some food. And he was like, yeah, we'll just drop by. And I'm like, well, no,
yeah,
it's not a
okay.
drop by thing. It's brunch. And then I got a whole long response about like how they had all these plans for the weekend. He hadn't really factored in a sit down meal. I didn't really know. And I'm like,
oh, God.
What are you talking about? Either well, come or don't come. Like it doesn't, I don't, I'd like to see you, but it, I don't care.
That's
but what is
up.
It if somebody says, hey, do you want to come over for brunch? Like what's the normal, what event would you anticipate you were attending?
Brunch would be sitting down to eat. I would anticipate at least an hour for brunch.
Right, like with yeah. people, like everybody sits down at the same time. Not like if
yes.
it's a, like open house, Easter party.
Yeah,
like, hey, we're watching
that makes
the
sense.
Game. Like that's more casual. But it just was very, it's very strange.
I don't know. I feel like that's very that strange. Is weird. You're gonna invite. I don't know when I invite someone or like I get invited to places. Like I factor in. Like I hate like. Having such a tight schedule where like I'm like okay I have to bounce out of here
yeah.
in like an hour and 20 minutes
like schedule
you know
your social time
yeah it's like if you're going to hang out with some friends you shouldn't put a time limit on that unless you know it's for a specific time like a game or like but brunch I feel like you should kind of make it an all afternoon affair
yeah. brunch is
like anticipated
relaxing.
As
a,
yeah.
yeah
like
you know?
Don't want to rush it like okay you guys done laughing now because I
right.
got shit to do
yeah I budgeted out because you said we're gonna try and eat around one
mm-hmm.
I budgeted out from one until four
right
yeah that
and
sounds
that,
right
and
we were gonna watch that we watched the race
mm-hmm,
so
watch the
Formula
One
there.
Race
that was exciting
and yeah well the funny thing is a good portion of the adults that attended the festivities fell asleep
yeah
right after
everybody
the food.
Passed out there's yeah
it was just like burr
yeah which was
well
amazing.
When you have hella good food and ham for hella people and you just don't invite one person I can see why
oh no
oh you would have been asleep too.
Oh
yeah,
yeah
you would have been curled up in the corner with the dog.
The kids watched.
Oh, you have a dog? I can
no,
cuddle
I
with.
Don't. No, it was a visiting dog. I don't have a dog on my own.
Yeah, it was
so
a visiting dog.
It was like a dog to share. And the kids, we put on Frozen. For
I would
the
have
kids
been hanging
watch.
Out with the kids.
The kids watched. Some adults fell asleep on the couch with the kids watching Frozen. Other people fell asleep downstairs where we were watching the race. It was just chill.
Yeah, it was a good afternoon.
It was the way Sunday should be.
It was.
Eating,
but
boozing, napping.
That's true. I was very Sunday. Pleased with it because I was like, I need to bring something. And I went to Total Wine and I'm like looking around for something a little different. So I went to the sparkling wine section. I found a rosé wine. I forget the name of it.
It was very nice.
From Spain. And I'm like, you know what?
España.
I'm going to get this and see how it is. And it was really delightful.
It was very good.
Because there's
true.
Nothing in the middle of the day like a nice sparkling wine.
Is that like, okay, do you guys feel like that? Like, is this a comment? Because I got called out for being a little weird about this. Because like when I go over to people's houses, even if it's just like a friend, like I feel like I unless it's like my BFF where I see them way too much, I'm like I'm too broke to deal with your bitch ass. But I like to come with a gift.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. For an event like an Easter where someone's gone to the trouble to make a dinner or a brunch like that, showing up empty handed is kind of shitty.
Shitty is a good word.
But yeah. I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't. I appreciate when people bring
yeah.
something. I mean, there's that kind of thing like you shouldn't go to a party empty handed, but. Some parties are like that and some aren't. I also feel compelled usually to grab a bottle of wine or a
yeah,
flower
was,
or something,
oh yeah,
you
something.
Know.
And I was like, cause I was hanging out with a friend and I came with someone. She's like, you do realize you don't have to like bring me shit, right? I was like, well, it's either this. I think I got
it. And you're
like
I wasn't raised in a barn.
Yeah,
God
I was like,
damn
it's
it.
Either this or fucking flowers. And like, I know your ass is too lazy to take care of that shit. So like, let me give you food. Like, I don't
exactly.
know.
Well, not every place does Easter go smoothly. An Easter egg decorating party went very wrong and led to a Pittsburgh area man pelting his girlfriend with hard-boiled eggs before attempting to
oh,
stab
dear.
Pittsburgh police officers with a sword.
What?
Aaron,
it just seems weird.
It does, right?
Okay, you're going to have a sword and hard-boiled eggs.
Well, Jesus is risen. Let's celebrate.
Oh, damn.
Aaron Gumpel, who's 27, was awaiting arraignment in the Allegheny County Jail for his arrest on aggravated assault charges stemming from a domestic disturbance shortly after midnight on Sunday. Police said they responded to reports of a fight inside an apartment and found a woman whose right eye was red and swollen. She told three officers that when accusing Gumpel of cheating on her, he became agitated and began hurling eggs at her. He barricaded himself in the bedroom with an exercise machine against the door. Once officers busted through that door, he reached for a row of knives and swords atop his dresser because he's the type of guy who collects knives and swords.
Of course.
Police got him under control and took him to the cruiser, where they said he started yelling racist obscenities at one of the officers and kicked another in the groin. According to records, his criminal record includes guilty verdicts for disorderly conduct and public drunkenness dating back to 2008. He's now awaiting trial on charges of harassment, prowling, assault, and traffic violations.
That just reminded me of Chris Brown. Because, Chris Brown got accused of cheating, right? And, I don't understand, when you fuck up, why do you think you have the right to go ape shit?
Well, we don't know that he was cheating, and I understand
but
if you're upset about
that reaction.
Well, he threw hard boiled eggs at her. It's not okay.
That's not okay at all. Even if they weren't cooked or whatever, they're supple, whatever. You just don't if you didn't do anything wrong. I feel like you're just you wouldn't take it so personally, but I guess if that's the only weapon you have, you still shouldn't be doing that shit unless it's self-defense. I don't understand.
He did have other weapons. He had knives and a sword.
Oh, God. I mean, that's pretty bad. Everything about that, part of me is dude, I would have been it'd be cool to be friends with him because he seems like a badass. Swords are pretty sick, but not if you're using them on cops. I don't like cops. Y'all
you
know
should
this.
Use
but
them on other knights.
Yeah, exactly.
And
or
dragons.
Just show them off. Okay.
I don't know.
Now she's just making fun of me. But hardboiled. Damn, now I'm hungry. Y'all talking about ham, hardboiled eggs.
I can definitely go for some ice cream.
All right.
Oh, and that too.
All right.
She did not prepare appropriately for
Let's kill your appetites now. Rapper Andre Johnson, who is associated with the Wu-Tang Clan, E! News has learned from a source close to the situation that the rapper had been under the influence of PCP, otherwise known as angel dust, when he jumped off the second story of his apartment building. The source also tells E! Online that Johnson used a serrated steak knife to cut off his penis before jumping.
Yikes.
Adding that the rapper, who goes by the name Christbearer, cut off the tip of his penis first, then removed his testicles.
Oh, what? I did not know that whole...
And then the remainder of his genitalia. When police arrived, he was on the balcony, according to the source. Authorities asked him to come down and talk to them. He said, okay. And he jumped off the balcony.
I'm sorry. That's not okay to laugh.
No, it is. police found the remains of his penis upstairs. It happened about a week ago in North Hollywood. He's 40. He was found lying on the sidewalk with critical injuries, rushed to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. They were unable to reattach.
Wow. I feel like as a black guy, that would suck the worst.
It would suck as any guy.
Well, yeah, but I feel like if a rapper and that whole stigma of not only that whole once you go black, but then on top of that, it's as a rapper, you do, I mean, Wu-Tang Clan, you walk around and say that you do get ass, to be I'm sorry, not anymore.
Right.
It's just, and then when I first read, when that article first came out, when I read it, they said his friends were we were just smoking weed and shit. We weren't taking any hard drugs enough for him to act like that. I'm like, that's fucking bullshit.
Except for PCP.
They don't consider PCP hard drugs, apparently, because that's just.
Yeah, it's bad times. But on the bright side, he could go around and talk to high school kids about the dangers of drugs.
Oh, God.
This is the best anti-drug. This is what the anti-drug commercial should be.
Right.
And instead of that bullshit with the little kid and the talking dog or some dumbass shit.
Right.
No, this is just post up stories like this and be like, this is why you don't do drugs. I don't fuck with certain drugs or do drugs at all, for the record, because this is on a podcast. Because I know the side effects are potential side effects, so
you might cut something off.
Yeah,
in stages too, with a serrated kitchen knife. God.
Although I did just read an article today about some groundbreaking phalloplasty techniques being pioneered in San Francisco, and a heartwarming story of a guy who's lost his penis in a botched circumcision when he was 7.
Oh,
horrible. But he and his wife just had a baby that they conceived naturally because of the successful new kind of, which is a good news for all kinds of people, trans people.
Yeah.
It's just, I think medical technology is cool. So let's bright side this horrific story of this guy going ape on PCP and say yay for medicine
and fake penises. Yeah. Oh, yay. I mean, I don't personally know.
Maybe
and
not. Maybe
it doesn't.
Some
really
people like.
Yeah.
Them.
No, that's cool. I mean, I just haven't been in a situation where it's been discussed. I mean, it's been discussed, but it's just haven't. So yeah, he cut off his penis.
Well, the journalists went to find members of the Wu-Tang Clan to find to get comments, and RZA has responded to the news by saying, quote, "I don't make music with him nowadays, but the story, what he did is incredible. That shit sound mythical."
Okay.
That's some of the dumbest shit I have ever heard. Sure. We're just talking about the anti-drug commercial shit, and this dumbass here is like, it's mystical.
That's what he told XXL.
Yeah.
Stupid ass.
Okay.
I don't know what XXL is.
Is that like a hip-hop magazine?
It probably is. Let's see. Let me go to their homepage to figure out what XXL is.
No,
see,
it is a hip-hop magazine.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, no, it is.
I figured that either that or it was a clothing store for fat guys.
It's like, it's, how do I compare it to like... like mainstream / white people shit, like People with like Pop, I guess, or like Cosmo or something. It's like the for that genre, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Now, anybody watch MLS besides me? I only watch a little bit.
Sometimes.
But when athletes go to the broadcast booth, which is the natural progression sometimes, oftentimes it goes really well, and other times, not so much. Let's take a listen to ex-MLS defender Robbie Russell attempt to speak the English language during his NBC Sports Network debut this past weekend.
Frank Gallup squad. You want to pay attention to Sean Johnson in the back. This Chicago team has been a sieve on defensive set pieces, and he's going to do everything he can to shore up that back line. In the midfield, you're looking for Patrick Nyarko and Harry Shipp to do all they can to balance the New England numbers and the situation. To balance New England numbers and deal with the midfield of New England. Up top, we want Quincy Mirequois and Mike McGee to have a strike partnership and duo that will work together to produce the goals this team needs to win.
How about Jay Heaps and the New England Revolution?
Well, Jay, he talked to us. Andrew Farrell in the back line.
This isn't going well.
Poor guy. What happened?
He got the yips. He just got nervous. He got all up in his head and is like, I was going to say this.
Lee Nguyen and Daigo Kobayashi is to run the midfield and get the ball at their feet as much as possible. And up top, you want Teal Bunbury to get his first goal and do all he can to be the scorer that this team needs.
Chicago Fire team that's champion at the bit right now. They're one of only four teams in all of MLS that have yet to win a game this season.
It's funny because he's sitting at the desk with the other commentator who's the play-by-play guy. And... he's just sitting there as bolt upright as could possibly be. He got nervous.
It was a sad little sigh every so often he's doing it, like, I don't know. Should be like, it's okay, buddy. It's cool. It's just soccer. You're all right.
Yeah,
that's embarrassing. Yeah. What kind of athlete are you? Know your shit, bro.
But then they remembered nobody. Well, wait, what channel was that on? NBC Sports?
NBC Sports, that.
Nobody really watches that post Olympics anyway, so it's okay.
Well,
soccer fans are forgiving. We're just glad when shit's on TV, period.
That's true.
Well, that was also
the bar low.
It's also the same network that carries Formula One racing.
I know. And yeah, Formula One and soccer. NBC Sports, for the sports Americans don't really care about.
To be fair,
golf is on there. Hold on.
They do carry some hockey as well. And hunting. It's
what?
It's this weird.
That's
array.
Like when fucking ESPN had the spelling bee.
They have. That's a big thing, and I don't get that. I don't trust anybody who watches that intently.
No, you get suckered in though. Like you turn it on, and you're like, I'm not gonna watch this. You go, buddy. You go. No, yeah. I before E. Oh, he got it.
Oh, there was one time I saw this kid. He was like, he asked for the word, and then like asked a couple questions, and then next thing I know, he like staggers and just falls, collapses, and everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, do we help him? Like, it just seems like he fainted. He gets up, spells the word right,
nails the landing.
I was like, what the? Did you cheat on the ground? Like, what did you?
I think anybody who watched that, did you ever watch Spellbound, that documentary about the
Oh my God, there's a documentary on it.
It is so good. I think it won an Oscar. It is so, so good.
Spellbound?
I'm sure it's on Netflix or whatever. I don't have the DVD, so I can't fail to bring it in next week for you.
we already established that you're going to fail.
But it is, it's an amazing documentary. It is so interesting, and you get so wrapped up in these kids, and I'd love for them to do like a Where Are They Now retrospective of them.
I'm
but,
so excited. I'm going to make my friend watch them.
It's really good. It's really, really good.
All right. Well, this came out this week. American author, poet, and short story writer and novelist Charles Bukowski has 10 tips for living a kick-ass life. So let's see how we all fall in line with this. Number 10, life happens. Don't always take it so seriously. Sometimes you just have to pee in the sink.
No, you never have to pee in the fucking sink. I don't give a fuck. Do not pee. And I think that's so gross. My friend's ex-boyfriend used to do that. Used to pee in the sink. And I found out about it later. And the reason why is because our toilet was too fucking short. So he's decided to fucking pee in the sink. Learn how to squat.
What do you mean the toilet was too short?
So it would like splash up or some shit. I don't know.
No, that's horse shit.
That is horse shit, right? This motherfucker decided to pee in the sink. Oh my God.
How low to the ground was your toilet?
Not that low. Was it like I sat comfortably and I'm 5'6 and I am proportional.
It was not one of those Asian squat toilets?
No.
Even so, you're a guy.
Yeah. Oh my God. Seriously. No, you cannot pee in the fucking sink.
Number 9. There are much worse things than loneliness. It's true. It's true.
Sure.
Being with horrible people is worse than loneliness.
What kind of dumbass surrounds himself with horrible people?
Well, yeah, it happens.
I mean, it happens.
Sometimes you don't even know, and then you look around and say, Jesus.
That's true. Been there, done that.
You all suck. Number 8, have confidence in yourself. The problem with the world is the intelligent people are full of doubts. Do you believe that, Diana?
You know what? I think that's what makes someone intelligent is because they question things. They're not, what is that? Flock, geese, chicken. I don't know that saying.
Flock, geese, chicken?
Or like, don't be a sheep, right?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Why did I name every other animal on the farm? But the fucking,
do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I do not.
ESL, asshole. ESL.
I don't know. Number 7, don't fear death. It's coming. Don't fear it.
Fuck that. Wait, what is this advice for? These are tips to make me do better.
These are tips for living a kick-ass life.
That's basically
don't fear death. Okay, here's the thing. If you say like don't fear death as in a don't sit around and have a complex about it or end up on like anti-anxiety meds cuz you're freaked out, that's fine. But if you use the I'm afraid of death thing to make good choices like not skydiving or not sitting on the edge of that parking structure or whatever, I think that's reasonable and intelligent.
Just don't fucking run around and being like, did you guys hear about that one rapper, that dude that like tweeted YOLO and then he was drunk driving and he was like drunk driving, whatever, YOLO, and then got in a car accident and died.
Well, he did.
No.
He wasted it, but he did YOLO. Only live once.
Yeah.
Number 6, you're stronger than you think. Life is full of trials and hardships. You know it. You've literally experienced it many times, yet no matter what, you always made it through difficulties in one piece. Always remember you're stronger than you think, and you have it in you to get through the toughest of days. That's actually good advice. Number 5, be your own unique self and shamelessly express it in all you do. Don't do that.
No, please don't.
Please
stop.
No.
Conform a little bit, please. Just
and,
a little.
And even if it is conforming to being like all the other hipsters. Because we have a huge group of hipsters listening to the show.
Oh, shit. Do we?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, that probably... I was like thinking of my friend. Yeah, we do.
It's fine. But yeah, please, for the love of God, remember, be yourself, but also remember you're part of a greater society. And don't forget that. Number 4, don't fear pain. Without it, you can't experience happiness.
To a certain extent, yes.
Oh, well, I guess...
That is some like S&M shit, though.
My mind goes immediately to childbirth, at which point,
I thought you were going,
have the epidural.
I thought you were going emo for a second.
No, she brought out the big gun. Childbirth, no. Man, that is his true pain.
Trump card played.
Number 3, live life to the fullest. Want to go skydiving but never done it? Take the leap. Dying to get that degree in art history but don't know how you'll use it? It's time to enroll.
Okay, I'm gonna stop this dumbass right there. No, you don't. Let's be practical about shit. If you just like art history, but you want to actually do shit and you like money more than art history, be practical. Make smart decisions. Don't major in shit just because you like it. Because let's be real, that's not how shit works in the real world. You can always go back when you're rich because you picked a smart degree to go back and get that degree. That doesn't mean shit.
Or you could just go to the museum.
That's when, well, touché. No, I think that's when you do the double or the minor or something. Like,
yeah.
Do like do minor. All your lit stuff and get your minor in computer science.
Yeah.
So
just be fucking
and also
practical.
Be an engineer, you know?
Number two, love yourself. No one's perfect, that's for sure, but there's no point in beating yourself up about it. Stop criticizing every minute thing about yourself you wish you could change and show yourself some love. That's not to say never work on self-improvement, but be your own biggest fan while you're at it, no matter what.
Is this person single?
I don't know.
This person acts like they're fucking single. This is shit you tell your friend that's
good
going
enough,
through a breakup.
I'm smart enough.
He's an old guy, so he's lived life. And his number one rule, don't settle. You shouldn't settle for anything less than what you absolutely deserve or desire. Strive for the best and don't accept anything except for what you will, what will make you entirely happy.
But and also love yourself more and also be happy and also... I don't know that all those things go together.
Yeah, it's well. If you want to live a kick-ass life, that's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's not. Why am I being so negative? I'm just hating on this dude because I think it's not.
Well, let's go ahead and rate this stuff.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool?
All right. First up in cool or tool, the RZA's reaction to Andre Johnson cutting off his penis. Diana.
Tool. Dumbass. Dumbass.
Christiana?
Yeah, a second.
Actually, it's kind of cool. Sorry.
We just talked about anti-drug commercials, Nate.
No, I'm just talking about how it was like, because most people would be like freaking out, and the RZA's like, that's pretty fucking epic. That's kind of a cool reaction.
Oh my God, we are not, no. People listening to this, no. Do not fucking encourage that type of behavior, please.
Okay. Up next, cooler tool, the first day at work. The first day at work. Christiana.
The first day at work is usually cackles on my leg. The first day at work is usually cool because that's like the day everyone's nice and takes you out to lunch, and then every day after is terrible.
Diana?
I completely fucking agree.
I don't know. The first day at work, I hate the first day at work because it's always filling out fucking paperwork.
No, well, they let you make mistakes and stuff on your first day at work, and then after that, they're just like, well, you've been here long enough. And I'm like, I've only been here for like a day.
Ouch. Sorry. I picked the wrong day to wear a skirt.
Yeah.
No. It's okay, cat. Just wants to... I have my planner on my lap and my pen, and the cat's like, this looks like a toy.
But her alpha be hella cute, though.
Thanks. Thank you. Ow, 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 ow. Sorry. Keep with the show.
His love hurts. And and finally, in cooler
don't
tool...
Go. See, I am.
Life tips. Life tips, Diana.
This asshole... This okay, never mind. I should rephrase that. I think he's a tool because his life tips suck.
That's fine.
But there's some good ones out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, out of 10, he might have gotten 2. Christiana, what do you think?
When life tips come from me, they're reasonable and should be followed.
Yeah.
No?
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Your life tips, I mean, if they come with a ham.
Everybody else's life tips are crap.
Yeah, except for when you don't invite people and you don't bring ham.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, tell me about your life tips again.
With
an Evite.
His life tips are incredibly tool. Because his life tips are just, they're incredibly selfish.
They don't involve,
I mean, and you do need to take some time for yourself and appreciate yourself, but... We live in a society with other people, and don't be a dick about it.
Yeah, if I hear one more person that says "make time for you," I'm gonna punch people's faces.
Well, you do have to make time for you.
I don't know. Yeah, you do, but usually people I hear saying that, like, I don't know what they're doing for anybody else that's interfering with their time. You know?
Yeah, it's
do stuff. Go do stuff for other people. You'll find out you benefit from it, and the world's a happy place. So,
all right, that'll do it for cooler tool. Moving on, we got some useful tips for you from Reader's Digest. This might be the first Reader's Digest on the show.
Somebody sent, I got ever. One in the mail the other day, and I don't know why.
They still make those? I used to love reading them
in
the doctor's
office.
I know,
me too. My grandparents' bathroom, that's where I used to read them.
Humor and Uniform. Yeah, that's where Reader's Digest
lives. Yeah, Humor and Uniform, all in a day's work. Like, you just read the little joke categories.
Yeah, Life in these United States.
Exactly.
I know what they are, because there's one on the back of my parents' toilet.
As there should be.
You know what WD-40 is?
Yeah, of course.
Diana, do you know what WD-40 is?
I mean, I don't know what it's made of.
No.
It's a spray lubricant.
Oh, whoa. That's not what I thought it was.
No. You spray it on, like, rusty bolts to loose to
Oh, I do know what that
doors.
Is.
Yeah,
I know what that is.
Well, here are some other non-traditional uses than just squeaky hinges for WD-40. You can use it to protect your bird feeder. So you spray it and it keeps squirrels from taking over your bird feeder because they just slide right off. Huh?
Hmm.
Still not sure what the
hell that means. Know that... Is WD-40 good for any animal? I'm not really sure you should...
I'm just giving you the tips.
That's an approved use.
Here's another one. Separate stuck glassware. You know, when you put your glasses together and they kind of stick and you can't really pull them apart? Well, that...
What, don't you drink... I'm just, like, thinking, like, anytime there's, like, actual human contact, you shouldn't be using this product.
Well, you wash it again.
Well, it doesn't, like, I mean, chemicals could only take so, like, 99.9%, that 0.1% fucking gives people the runs on cruises. Like, this shit is dangerous.
All right, here's another tip. Get that stuck ring off your finger.
You can do that with, like, olive oil, too, and then also moisturize your hands.
Well, and it does say, remember to wash your hands after spraying them with WD-40. You can exterminate roaches and repel pests.
See, which is why you probably shouldn't put it on your bird feeder. It definitely kills stuff. You shouldn't use it outside.
It's an instant kill. To keep insects and spiders out of your home, spray WD-40 on windowsills and frames, screens and door frames. Be careful not to inhale the fumes when you spray, and do not do this at all if you have babies or small children in the home.
But totally safe for birds, we swear.
You can also, this is good for kids, remove chewing gum from hair. From hair.
I also would use olive oil.
Yeah, there's, or peanut butter,
or
right?
Peanut butter or ice.
Or just don't be a dumbass.
Don't give your kids gum. That's the first thing.
Or you can just cut it off. I mean, they're young enough. Like, It'll be a cool story at the, like, when they're like 24 and they post on Facebook, throwback Thursday, look what my parents did to me.
Apparently the theme of this segment, by the way, is turning into fuck you Reader's Digest.
I think this has turned into there's a difference between men and women, because these seem good to me. Number six, remove tough scuff marks. Black scuff marks on the kitchen floor won't be so tough anymore when you spray them with WD-40. They remove tar and scuff marks on all your hard surface floors. It won't harm the surface and you won't have to scrub nearly as much. So, also remember to open your windows because the fumes will kill you.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this?
It also works for tea stains on countertops, and being married to a British fellow, I'm sure that's a problem.
We constantly just don't clean our counters and they're gray. So
there you go.
Don't have to worry about it.
You can clean your toilet bowl with it too.
Okay. Why is there so many? Oh, it kind of worries me when there's so many uses for one product, kind of like Windex.
Well, here's
but not as bad. This sounds worse than Windows. I'm just thinking of, like, My Big Fat Greek Wedding when they went to that show.
Here's the interesting part about this whole thing. All of these things that you can do with WD-40, there are other products that cost far less that do the same thing. You can also winterproof your boots and shoes. We don't have winter here. Clean and restore your license plate, because that's important.
Also works for that. Water.
Prevent snow buildup on windows. Not an issue here. Ah, this one might actually be useful. It keeps wasps from building their nests.
Right, probably because it still kills with animals and fucks with your local ecology. Don't do this, people.
It removes doggy doo-doo from your shoe.
Also, so would soap and water?
It does. It tones down the polyurethane shine. And it removes strong glue. So those are some of the things you can do with WD-40, unless you're a girl, I guess. Concerned about the economy or college
or a lady.
A lady. I'm sorry, a woman.
Spelled with a Y. Do you notice that when like feminists, or like, I don't know, I would say feminists, but they're mostly like my lesbian LGBT yay gay friends club members, where they like spell woman with a Y.
I've seen woman. It before.
Yeah. Whenever I read that, does anybody else also go like woman? You never see the replaced like Y in there.
It just
makes me say the word different in my head.
It just makes me immediately discount anything else that's on the page when I see it written
dear.
That way. Because I go, you are someone with issues.
Dear.
You are a person with issues that I don't want to get into. It's got some good news for you, too. From right here in Sacramento, a man tried to rob a market after cutting the employee behind the register with a knife. But then the store's customers gave him more trouble than he bargained for. A man whose name I will not attempt to pronounce walked into a market on Norwood Avenue north of El Camino Avenue, which is not in the best section of town. He went straight to the register and cut the employee behind the register before demanding money.
Don't do that.
Yeah. He was then stopped by customers in the store, and they detained him until the cops showed up. He was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon and attempted robbery, and the employee sustained only minor injuries. I'm these are really good Minimart customers. They must love the way this guy punches in their lottery numbers. I don't know what's going on. Because somebody's like, they're cutting people up and they're like, no, you're not leaving. You are not leaving until the cops show up. That's, so, yeah.
I mean, I have some faith in society after like shit like that, you know?
It happens every now and then. And the thing is, cops will always tell you don't do that. They're like, just give them what you want. You know, you can replace money. You can't replace life. But then you hear a story like this and you're like, yeah, people are good. Yeah, Stand up to that one dick.
Yeah. I mean, if a whole bunch of you, then again, if he had like an automatic rifle or some shit, that's a little different. But like, if it's, I feel like it's all numbers. I mean, I think it's cool when people try to play vigilante when it's smart and stuff.
That's smart vigilante.
Yeah. Like, don't be a dumbass. But I saw like, I don't know. I have faith in humanity when I hear stuff like that. Yay, people.
Yeah. Yay, Sacramento.
Town.
And by the way, if I haven't mentioned it this show, thank you for shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. We're having a very good month in April. Actually, better than December. I don't know why. It just everybody went nuts and started buying stuff. So thank you so much. Keep
the weather
doing that.
Changed. Everyone's happy. And
yeah, I think someone had a huge party of some sort because there's a like a ridiculous amount of like party stuff going on there.
Wasn't me this time.
No, it's fantastic. So thank you, everybody, for doing that. Spread the word. It's easy to do, and we do appreciate it. It helps support the show, and we can keep bringing you the free comedy. We can talk about things and things you aren't going to hear anywhere else. What other podcast you're gonna hear people talking to the guy from Ben and Jerry's about what ice cream flavors are staying and which ones are going and what's happening with that. I mean,
we got some cool shit
going on here,
and I also now have to stop at the store on the way home.
No, there you go,
to buy some ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Oh god, I was just losing weight too. I'm like, ice cream, pizza, fucking hard-boiled eggs. I'm just gonna make some
ham.
I'm still bitter.
Yeah, what was that thing called? Eggs in a basket?
Eggs in a nest? That was a bit of a recipe fail, I have to admit.
Are you trying to piss me off?
No, hold on.
They didn't come out very well, so you didn't miss anything. Right?
Now I am.
Get out of the left lane, you stupid Asian bitch. I don't even know why you are there.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
That's why I wasn't invited, because I can't drive in the left lane. I want to make it on time.
Oh my god, the traffic calming in her neighborhood would have you baffled. To be fair,
it's terrible.
To be fair, I got lost. I've been to your house a lot of times, and normally I use the GPS, and I'm like, I'm gonna go without, and then I got lost. And I pulled out my phone.
My neighborhood is only recently in GPS anywhere. Oh, like when I first moved there, people were like, "Yeah, your street doesn't exist in my program." I'm like, "Yep,
yeah,
get an update."
Yep. How it works.
It's true. It's time for small town news. This from Marilyn Haggerty from Grand Forks Herald. Nobody asks me, but I go around telling students within hearing range they ought to take Latin. I'm thinking on Good Friday about a language that goes back through the ages. I'm thinking of Jason Hawley, who teaches Latin at Red River High School. One of his favorite sayings is labor vignit omnia. That is, labor conquers all. As a mom, does labor conquer all?
Yeah. Sorry, okay. My initial reaction to that statement is just labor is kind of my thing, so not like birth labor.
No, I know. Hawley is relatively new in Grand Forks. He teaches more than 70 students in 3 Latin classes at Red River. In addition, Lori Hollifield has 31 Latin students at Central High School. When students ask about their homework, Hollifield is likely to reply, "Omnia et plus." That means everything and more. And she believes it's a good motto for life. I hate these people already.
I know. I was like, what the hell?
Latin seems to be alive and well in Grand Forks schools. There was a time when it faltered for lack of teachers of the ancient language. This spring, students of Latin are looking forward to Latin Days at Concordia College in Moorhead. That's May 15th and 16th. And 16 students of Latin will be going with the teachers to explore Italy and France this summer, where they don't speak Latin. Language is flourishing in the city schools, with more students taking French, German, or Spanish. Still, Latin students have reasons. Hollifield knows that Latin has lived through the Dark Ages, and it never dies. She teaches her students to find it in everyday life. Holly notes that students planning to study law or medicine want to take Latin, and knowledge of Latin is known to help raise scores on ACT and SAT testing for college scholarships.
It's great for answering Jeopardy questions, too.
Mm-hmm. And reading money. Some are looking for something different when they go into the study of Latin. They like to delve into the origin of words and ancient cultures. By the way, this weekend of Easter arrives with the last days of the boys off and running at the downtown Fire Hall Theater. And an Easter egg scramble this afternoon, followed by an Easter egg hunt Saturday morning at the Olerus. Grand Forks schools are on recess for Easter break, and there's a free movie for kids Saturday afternoon at the Grand Forks Public Library. Why? Because this is small town news. That's in the paper.
Awesome.
Oh, wow. Sometimes I always thought Sacramento was small.
Oh, God, no.
Until this.
Sacramento's huge compared to a lot of places.
We're a major metropolitan area.
Yeah, 500,000 people in Sacramento City alone.
Shit, why do I keep running into the same assholes then?
You need to explain. You need to expand your asshole range. Wait a minute.
That was another. That could have. I thought of something else for that.
Either way, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. We didn't even get to Florida Corner. I blame Ben and Jerry's. I think we're probably better for it anyway.
Yeah. Oh, that sample package. You better not hold out, man. That's kind of watching next show. He's like, oh, so it came. You guys weren't here. Sorry. Kind of like Christiana and her invites. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I want to start talking to him about a podcast flavor. Why not us?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I was thinking hankies are made out of, like, linen, and a white linen is a popular cocktail, and, like, that's made with elderflower flavor, so it would be sort of like an elderflower springtime thing. Call me Ben and Jerry.
I know. I like how he was, like, thinking R-rated, and you, like, thought, like, literal, and I was thinking, like, well, what would I want after sex? Or, like, to get have sex. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hanky-panky, like, sexy time?
If you drink enough white linens, you're probably going to have the hanky-panky. I think this could work.
I think we should tell your homeboy to call us.
And we'll come to Vermont.
Yes.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. We can make a podcast outing out of it.
We can go to that pewter shop. I love it. Sorry. Well, I only know three things.
Here's the fun thing.
Vermont.
They've got a team of people working on flavors. Like, they were in San Francisco, too. They're all over the place. Just the main office is in Vermont.
Man, fuck all of our jobs. We're doing the wrong
thing,
Yeah,
I know.
Thing,
I was like, no, I'm not kidding, Nate. Is he hiring? That was my question. Like, I need a job.
We'll work for ice cream, literally, you know, and figuratively.
Yes.
They do have a gym right on premises, too. So
what the fuck have I been doing? This is why you don't major in art history, or who the fuck liked him. Yeah. You major in ice cream.
Major in ice cream. So, anyway, that's going to do it for the Hump Day episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back on Friday with another new episode. Until then, enjoy some fun music, everybody. Bye-bye.